Hello, everyone. My name is Gio.
Hey, hey, and I'm Rosalind Hernandez. Welcome back.
And you are with us on the FYI on Youth Ministry.
Yeah. So this season, we are talking about youth leaders and how we take care of ourselves and how we can keep going in youth ministry. And we are so excited for our conversation today.
In today's episode, we have Dr. Kara Powell as she speaks about self-care and sustainable ministry. But first, here's what youth leaders told us about today's topic.
I've noticed in the past couple months that I think about work all the time and have a really hard time stopping thinking about our students or our programs or what I'm going to teach on Sunday. But the one time that I feel like my brain shuts that off completely is when I'm physically active. So I started taking dance classes, which was super helpful. We got a gym membership. You get to a point, if you're on a treadmill or on a bike for long enough, you stop thinking about students' needs or the church's needs, and you just go, oh my gosh, this is awful and I hate working out. But sometimes having the thought of I hate working out is better than I hate Zoom and ministry is really hard.
One of the things that comes to mind is to make sure to have friends in youth ministry that know what I'm talking about. So I don't have to explain a whole situation. I can just say, you know, when a student does this, and they can go, yeah. And we can just say, this is hard. This is hard. You're going to make it. It won't always feel like this.
What gives you energy in ministry? Maybe it's like a rest practice or whatever, but maybe it's also just like the things you love about ministry. You know, what gives you energy?
Officey stuff doesn't always give me energy. Sometimes I need to remember, like, have I hung out with students this week? How many times have I hung out with actual students? And then to text somebody and be like, when's your hockey game? And then to just throw out a text and be like, who can go to Paige's hockey game with me? And then whoever says, I can, we meet there. And that is just really life-giving to me. I remember that sitting in a small group of students and talking about real things in their actual lives, that is life-giving to me. That's when I sit there and go, this is what I was made to do, right? You can tell, it makes me original. This is what I was wired to do. That gives me life. Sometimes just saying, like, the paperwork is done, it'll never be done. I'm setting it aside. I'm going to go hang out with students.
Okay, this is going to sound like a little, I don't know, like me-centered, but like I said, I worked a lot my life, right? I worked 80 hours a week. I was a manager of different food industries, you know. One thing about all those jobs, I realized I couldn't be 100% me all the time, right? And just like any job, right? Like there's certain things where it's like, not that it's inappropriate, but it's like, oh, you're at work, right? We're not going to be maybe joking as well, why? Because we're at work. And I think, and it's, I know it sounds like really like me-centered, but I can see how the Lord uses every bit of me for his kingdom. Like, and it's even, and I say that because it's even like the not so good parts, right? Even like those parts we all had that were not our best, but like, it's crazy how every single part of me, like the Lord uses.
So let's get right into it.
We have Dr. Kara Powell, Executive Director of the Fuller Youth Institute, as well as the Chief of Leadership Formation at the Fuller Seminary. We are so excited to talk to you again today, Kara.
Oh, Gio, Rosalind, I'm thrilled to be here with you and looking forward to a great discussion.
Kara was actually our first guest on the podcast. She also co-wrote the latest book from FYI, which is Three Big Questions That Change Every Teenager. And outside of all of that, she's also a mom to three young people. So how's that going?
Oh, it's going awesome. I love parenting teenagers and young adults, but I was just telling someone today, I can't believe I'm old enough to have two college students. And then our youngest is learning to drive. She's more than 15 and a half. So Jessica's learning to drive. It's going by so quickly.
Wow, that's fun. Yeah. Do you also have another person in your family, a dog?
Yeah, well, it depends on how you define person. So yeah, she's actually a pandemic dog. We got her from a family member during the pandemic, and she's awesome. Her name's Misty. She's super easy, and she's been really great for all of our mental health in the midst of the pandemic. I feel like every day we laugh at least once at something Misty's done. So yes, that is, I suppose, technically the sixth Powell in our family.
Yay, I love dogs.
Kara, so you mentioned that Misty is a pandemic dog, and that is so relevant for our conversation today, because today Kara is with us because she was our first guest back in the middle of 2020. And in that episode, we asked her to share with us what her best ideas were for making youth ministry sustainable for the long haul. And she shared all these great ideas about how to measure the right things in ministry and how to love ourselves and how to love others and how to love God. And we thought that conversation was so relevant to us right now. And now that we are 2 years into the pandemic, we wanted to revisit it.
Wait, hold up. Did you say 2 years? It's been 2 years?
It's been 2 years, yep.
Okay, well then, yeah, we need to revisit this first episode. So we're going to listen to about 12 minutes of the first interview, and it's going to be packed with some great ideas. And then we're going to come back and we'll talk about where we're at and what has changed and what new practices or research Kara is thinking about.
Great. Can't wait.
So grab some popcorn, settle in. I'll see you on the other side.
Nothing like listening to yourself on tape. Here we go.
So I've been a youth and college pastor for about 9 years now, and there are certainly like factors outside of our control that would, you know, make our jobs a little bit easier. But what are some things we can do to set ourselves up well for the long haul?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about in ministry especially is metrics. How do we evaluate whether or not we're doing good youth ministry, whether or not we're doing fruitful youth ministry? And, you know, in our youth ministries, we tend to focus on attendance, whether it's virtual or whether it's in person, you know, the number of kids we're seeing or somehow at times having connection with. And that's okay. I think there's also additional metrics that should be added in terms of relational connection and actual spiritual growth and the way young people are serving, et cetera. And similarly, I think in our personal lives, we default to a metric, and let me just get even more personal. I default to a metric that I'm not always sure is the best one, or certainly shouldn't be the only one. I often think about my days through the lens of how much did I get done? And how much did I cross off, you know, my list or strike through or delete the email, et cetera. And I think a better way to set ourselves up for the long haul is to have a different way of measuring our fruitfulness. You know, Jesus never talked about crossing items off a to-do list. What Jesus did talk about is loving God, loving our neighbors, and loving ourselves. So on my better days, and this certainly doesn't happen all the time, but on my better days, Gio, you know, I try to think about how did I love God today? Looking backwards, how did I love God today? How did I love others? How did I take care of myself? And then even looking forward, sometimes at the start of the day, how am I going to show my love for God today, love for others, and take care of myself in the midst of it? So so I would say part of how we can have sustainable youth ministry is to make sure that we're evaluating ourselves by the right metrics. And it's not activity or accomplishment. I think what Jesus would say is it's those three loves, which he sets up as the greatest commandment.
Thank you. Yeah, loving God, loving others, loving self. But what are some practices that can help us stay close to God?
You know, I would say everybody needs to figure out themselves what practices help them grow in their relationship with God. I used to have a mentality that, you know, everybody should grow close to God like I grow close to God, which was really, you know, narrow, egotistical, etc. So I'll share my answer. And then, like I said, I hope every listener reflects on when they feel closest to God and how can they get more of that time in their life. I feel closest to God while I'm praying and reading the Bible. I'm pretty traditional in that sense. Like, I love getting time with God, sitting on my blue couch in my living room in the morning. That's really important to me. I have a journal, and sometimes I journal, sometimes I don't. I have some daily prayers. So I would say morning time with God's really important to me. And then throughout the day, worship music is so life-giving to me. And it might not be for others, but, you know, I almost always have worship music playing while I'm doing work. And then, you know, I think a Sabbath is not an option. It's one of God's big commandments for us. I got to say, I go through seasons where I do better at that and worse than that. But, you know, I'd encourage all of us to figure out in our rhythms, how do we have, if not a day, at least a half day or a few hours where I love Eugene Peterson's definition of a Sabbath as a time to pray and play. So, you know, some aspect of growing spiritually and then some aspect of doing something else that's life-giving that you often don't have time to the rest of the week. So those are three ways: morning time with God, worship all day, and then somehow trying to connect with God more deeply through a Sabbath. For me, it's on the weekends, but for sometimes as a church leader, in fact, when I was a pastor, it was not on the weekends. It would usually be on Friday, for instance. So whenever it fits.
Kara, thank you so much about talking about loving God. I think it's so important about loving God. But how about loving yourself?
Yeah, you know, that's often hard for us to do. It can feel and actually be indulgent. So, you know, so I think, you know, there are probably some of us who we need to love ourselves a little bit more. And there are probably others of us who we don't need to love ourselves anymore and maybe need to turn the dial down a little bit. But, you know, when I think about loving myself, it means creating a schedule, creating rhythms that are sustainable, that I live as centered and as stress-free as possible. And that's looked different for me at different times in my life. There was one time where actually my dad suggested that I set a limit of time about how much I was going to work during a week. And like actually track my hours. And that was really helpful. So, you know, I worked full time. I had to really make strategic choices about how I was going to spend my time. So, you know, you can do it that way if you want to track overall time. I also was advised by a mentor who was a long-term youth pastor that, you know, think of your days as three chunks: morning, afternoon, and evening. And try most days to have one of those chunks where you're not working. So a lot of times in youth ministry, we need to be working afternoons and evenings. That's when kids are more available. Well, then how do we make sure we take some time off in those mornings, that Tuesday morning, that Thursday morning, et cetera? And then I would say, you know, and I'm not great at this, but I think we tend to love ourselves better when we have a hobby, when we have something that we do for fun. So I would say, you know, whether it's tracking your time or making sure you're taking off a chunk of a day, figure out how to create a sustainable rhythm. And that probably means you have a hobby, something you do not because it's productive, but just because it helps center you, or maybe you just enjoy it.
So about loving others, I was wondering, can you talk a little bit about the importance of staying connected to those relationships that kind of bring us joy and life?
I heard a speaker once say, I don't even remember his name, but he said, you know, people in my ministry tend to think of me as my first name and my last name. Let's say his name is Dave Powell, my husband's name.
Okay.
What the speaker said was, at church, everybody thinks of him as Dave Powell. And he needs people who know him as Dave. You know, not kind of Dave Powell, this distant leader or this person in authority, but just my friend Dave. And, you know, I would say I need the same. I need friends who know me, not as Kara Powell, but just know me as Kara, who don't care all that much about my job and work, and really care about me. And friends who I've invited to ask me questions. Part of what I try to set up with different friends is I say to them, look, you have freedom to talk to me about anything you see in my life that feels off. especially in my marriage or as a mom. You know, if you see anything that causes you concern, please raise that. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget one very courageous friend who raised something to me that she was concerned about in the way I was parenting. And it was game changing for me, Gio, because she had the courage to say, I see how you're handling this, and I don't really think that's how you'd want to handle it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's a friend who sees me as Kara, not Kara Powell, and cares about me so much as a wife and a mom and a friend. And so, so I think those are the kinds of friends we need to seek out and prioritize time with. And, you know, I'm sure some listeners right now, they might feel like, well, I don't really have any good friends like that at the moment. I'd encourage you to start by praying, you know, ask God to bring friends like that into your life. And there have been seasons when I haven't had those friendships or haven't had those mentors, and I've prayed, and God's answered those prayers in creative and sometimes surprising ways. So that's what I would say. We need people who just know us as Gio and Kara.
That's great. What is something practical a listener could do this week that will help support themselves long-term in the work and the life of youth ministry?
I think a lot of times we harm ourselves when we compare ourselves to others. When we compare our accomplishments with others, when we compare the fruit that God is bringing in our ministry versus other ministries, and when we compare our schedules with others. And my good friend and long-term colleague, Chap Clark, who taught at Fuller in youth ministry for so long and is now back in full-time pastoral ministry. But I remember he and I were talking once, and he looked at me and he said, Kara, what is the pace that God has made for you to walk in? And I got out a piece of paper and I said, okay, wait, Chap, I need to write that down. And I wrote it really big on that piece of paper. And I carried that piece of paper around with me in my organizer for quite a while. What is the pace that God has made me to walk in? And, you know, Gio, your pace is going to be different than mine. And folks who are listening to this, we're all going to have different paces. And that's okay. You know, make sure that we're loving God, loving others, loving ourselves. Absolutely. That is universal. But the way we do that, the rhythms we use to do that, those can have a lot of variation.
Are you listening to us in your car? Or maybe you're doing your dishes? Or maybe you're out on a run and you can't take notes while you listen? Well, we got you. You can download a free PDF of the highlights on the show notes page at fulleryouthinstitute.org/podcast.
You know, even though it has been 2 years, one of the things that really stood out to me was the play and pray of a Sabbath.
Yeah.
And not having to take a whole day just doing what is feasible for each of us. And I think that play part of Sabbath is really important, especially as we are in the midst of a pandemic where so much of our lives is quite serious and heavy, and finding those lighter moments is really important.
Yeah, well, I very much still love the description by Eugene Peterson of a Sabbath as a time to pray and play. I think something that has changed for me over the last couple of years is I now have a second job at Fuller. I've always loved being the executive director of the Fuller Youth Institute, and now I'm also the chief of leadership formation at Fuller. My already busy work-filled life has gotten busier and more work-filled. And I'll be honest, when I first got the second job, there was so much work I felt like I needed to do that I didn't do very well at having a Sabbath. Now, I've been in the job for a while, and so I've had a Sabbath rhythm now for several months. But in all candor, it's usually from when church starts on Sunday, whether I'm in person or online church, until Sunday dinner. So I'm not quite back at a full 24 hours yet, because I like to do a little bit of email and working on documents Sunday morning and then getting ready for the day Sunday night for Monday. So hopefully, you know, those boundaries will continue to expand. But I still love that pray and play definition. So for me, what play often looks like is reading for fun. I do so much reading for my job that for me to play is to read a novel. Like, that's such a treat. To do something physical with my husband and with our daughter, or just on my own, whether it's working out, taking an extra long walk with the dog around the neighborhood, you know, whatever it might be. Those are some of the ways that I like to play. And I got to say, having a nap is a part of almost every Sabbath for me. Like, that is sweetness. Amen. For me when I get a nap. So those are the ways that I'm trying to play now here in 2022.
I love that. And I think it's also a way that we get to love ourselves as well. I think it's so important for us to love and care for ourselves. And I want to be a little bit vulnerable. This past Christmas season, actually, I was not taking care of myself very well. You know, Christmas season and Easter season are two of the most, you know, busy seasons, especially for pastors and church workers. Yeah. And I had kind of spread myself a little too thin. And I think part of it, too, was some of our fellow workers were sick, not with COVID, but they were just sick. And so I had to do the jobs of not one, but three people.
Yeah.
And as a result, I was just getting burnt out, even to the point of, I'm embarrassed to say, but like, I wanted to quit. Yeah. Right. And that's something like, but you work at FYI and you're a youth pastor. How could you like say something like that? But no, I honestly just wanted to quit. I was fed up. I was like, why am I even doing this anymore? Like, and who am I even doing this for? And I'm just tired. And so, to me, like, I know, Kara, you know, you're a researcher and you're always sharing those recent findings, with our team. But I'd like to know, like, are there any recent findings about, pastors considering, you know, quitting, especially these past 2-3 years?
Gio, I just so appreciate your honesty and your vulnerability and your experience of being so empty that you wanted to quit. That's very common right now. Mm. And thanks to the Barna Group, which has done some really interesting studies of pastors nationwide, their most recent release of data from October 2021 was that about 38% of pastors had seriously considered leaving ministry in the last year. Wow. 38%. So almost 2 out of 5. And that number went up for pastors who were younger, for pastors who were from a mainline tradition, or for pastors who were women. And so, you know, let's just imagine 2 out of 5 leaders listening to this podcast right now are scratching their heads or journaling or wondering deep down in their soul, like, can I keep doing this? And that's a question that we all have to ask. And I think distinguish, is this a time of fatigue that I need to, like you said, take better care of myself because I'm not called to leave youth ministry yet or this job?
Yeah.
Or is this a sign that I am called to leave? And for those of us who think we're more in that first category, that you're not really called to leave or quit, you're just so exhausted that the idea of planning another youth ministry event or Sunday morning or small group or whatever just feels overwhelming. I'll tell you one of the really practical ways I've been taking care of myself lately is through sleep. Mm. And there's fascinating research on this, just how the vast majority of us would do better in life, in leadership, in relationships, if we got a little bit more sleep. So for me, in the past, I've gotten 6-7 hours of sleep. Well, my goal most nights is to try, emphasize try, to get 8 hours of sleep. And as dorky as this sounds, one of the best ways for me to get 8 hours of sleep is to have an earlier bedtime. I know I sound like a preschooler, but to have an earlier bedtime. So just last night, I was watching the show on Netflix. It was so tempting to watch the next episode. But I looked at my husband and I said, I think I need to go to bed. This is my bedtime. And I did go to bed. Now, let me say, my kids are older. For those of you who have younger kids, for those of you who are taking care of a lot of relatives, maybe aging parents, for those of you who are working multiple jobs in studies, et cetera. I know sleep can be a valuable and scarce commodity. So I would say whatever stage of life you're at, examine, am I getting enough sleep? And if not, is there a way? Is there a way for me to eke out another 30, 45 minutes of sleep? I know when I do that, I'm just a better Kara. I'm a better listener. I'm a better wife. I'm a better leader. I'm a better mom. I'm a better friend. So Gio, for you and everyone else who's wondering, am I still called to youth ministry? First off, please do prayerfully discern, ideally in a supportive community, the answer to that question. But if you think you're called to stay, then ask what needs to change. And for me recently, what's needed to change is sleep.
Sleep is so important. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm going to confess something else. I'm just sharing all my different failures. Like
we're
just
here
of recently.
We're here for it.
Just 2 weeks alone, I've actually shared this with Roslyn, being the great coworker she was listening. I had a moment with my students because many of them were just they were acting very different. Like they weren't themselves, I guess, so to speak. Mm-hmm. To the point where it rubbed off on me, and I wasn't myself, and I was second guessing myself, and I ended up kind of. I call it a blow up. I kind of blew up on them. Rosalind kind of like from what she, you know, she's like, I don't think you kind of blew up. I think you just were just letting out like the truth, you know, kind of thing. But I called them out for what they did that I felt that they, you know, they should not do. I don't think I did it disrespectfully. You know, they sat with it. I sat with it. And then after church, like I just kind of processed this whole thing. I went to sleep, like you said. I went to sleep, and when I woke up, I processed some more, especially with some other youth pastors that are in my, you know, key group. And I processed it the next day with Roslyn and another coworker, and it helped me see that like. While I felt like, yeah, like my anger was justified and righteous, I also had to see things through their point of view. I had to see that maybe they're not themselves because they are going through their own, you know, their own thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I should be a lot more empathetic. You know, part of reading all these FYI books, one of our important aspects is empathy and having empathy with young people. And I think in that moment, because of my tiredness, because of my weariness, I was failing to see and meeting my students where they're at. I'm so thankful for you know, fellow youth pastor friends, as well as Roslyn and my coworker for kind of helping me see that. But yes, I think rest was definitely one of the key ingredients for me to kind of get back to myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Gio, I love what you, first off, thank you again for sharing vulnerably. This is like Gio's confessions. But I love it. Thank you for sharing. And I think what you did in processing afterwards was so important. You thought about it yourself. You spent some time talking about it with community, and then you realize, you asked yourself, what do I need to learn? And for you, it was more empathizing with who your students are. And I think if I was to add something else, it's to apologize to those students. And this is such a theme in our research, is both for family members and for leaders. You know, we're going to blow it. We are sinners.
Yeah.
We're sinners.
Yeah.
So it's not if you blow it, it's when you blow it. And whether it's, you know, kind of a emotionally venting, as it sounds like maybe you did, or whether it's being curt and impatient or whatever it might be, you know, I think our students actually learn as much, if not more, when we blow it and apologize than if we're always modeling, you know, the fruit of the spirit and all the character that we would want to. There's something, and we've heard this actually even in recent interviews for a new research project we're doing right now in FYI, just how meaningful it is for young people when adults around them apologize to them. And so, you know, I think that's also part of what it means to live in community with each other and love others, is to apologize.
you know, maybe whatever we were doing before the pandemic is not working anymore. Maybe, Gio, you need to take more Sabbath so that, you know, like, you don't feel like you're so stressed out and, like, speak out strongly with your students. But we are seeing that an aspect of sustainability is that things have to change, and things changed with the pandemic. And even when there isn't a pandemic, our life happens and things are changing all the time. And so we have to pivot and we have to change the things and the practices that we're doing. And it's not like doing a perfect routine all the time is going to get us to be sustainable. Like, that's too rigid, right? And so has there been, Kara, a time in these, maybe these past 6 months, when you realized that something that you like felt really good that you were doing in the past wasn't really working anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, what comes to mind when you ask that question, Roslyn, is how I pray in the morning. So I'm a morning person. I like to wake up early. And that's some of my best time with Jesus, is often in the morning. And during the pandemic, I started doing prayer walks and just walking around my neighborhood. And I would kind of pray for the same things at different points. So, you know, for the first block, I did adoration and confession. And for the next block, I prayed for my kids and, you know, et cetera. And that was wonderful. And then I realized that I wanted to pray more specifically as a leader for the areas that I oversee. So I actually created 2 pages of prayer requests for the Full Youth Institute, as well as the Leadership Formation Division. And I fold them up and I keep them in my pocket. And when it's time to pray for what I'm leading, like, I take those sheets out. And as I walk, I just pray through them, to the point that my neighbor one morning was like, "Are you working while you're walking?" Like, she didn't understand why I was walking around with sheets of paper. But that was the structure that I needed at that time. Well, it's gotten a little colder now that it's winter. I live in Southern California, so it's not as cold as other parts of the country, but it still can be cold to walk at 6 a.m. And so I'm now more inside for my morning prayer times. And I was inspired by some friends of mine who created a prayer room in their house, which was an extra guest bedroom they had, that they've you know, put up icons and put up scripture verses and candles and really made it a prayer room. And Dave and I don't have like a whole room that we can devote to that, but we do have a college son who, the older he gets, the less time he is in our room. So when he was home for Christmas, I said, "You know, bud, I would love to kind of make your bedroom also a place where I could pray." And he was very open to that. And so I got a more neutral rug, because he had this bright red rug and I wanted a more neutral rug. I got an old white bedspread out of our linen closet when he left for college, and I put it over his more colorful bedspread. I got a couple different pillows. I printed out some scripture verses. I got a candle. And like, I don't have a prayer room, but I kind of have like a prayer bed. And so this morning, this very morning, like, that is where I spent my time with the Lord. And I'm finding, I only did this, it's February now, and I did it when Nathan went back to college. So it's been about 4 or 5 weeks. But there's something in this season right now, there's something really meaningful about praying in the same place for me in the mornings. And sometimes I go in there in the evening, even just for 10 minutes, to kind of recenter and process what I feel like God's been doing throughout the day. So yeah, the prayer bed is probably the new adjustment I've made. It's for now a really fruitful thing in my life.
That's so great. And it is so interesting how prayer moves in and through and with us throughout our lives. And depending on what like stage of life we are, I recently started praying more through music. And sometimes I find myself listening to a song that's not necessarily like Christian or very spiritual, and there's something in there that just like speaks to me, and I end up, you know, feeling the spirit with like messages of like family and connection or things like that. And so there's so much that we can do to pray. We can, going on walks, just going in nature, listening to music, and just being in God's presence.
Praying through scripture is a great way to pray. If there are particular passages you want to pray through, or similarly to music, Roslyn, kind of prompt some thoughts about what to pray for. I found that really helpful too.
Right. So this season, we want to end each episode with a very practical idea around either self-care or loving ourselves or loving others. And Kara, how about you go first? What is something that we can do to love ourselves or love others? And
well, I already said sleep. So I'll add the second one that's really important to me on an almost daily basis, and that is working out. And there's a lot of reasons to work out. For me, as an Enneagram 3 who finds a lot of identity in my work, like my literal leadership work, for me to stop usually before dinner and take like 45 minutes to do an online workout, I reward myself. I have the workout on one computer and I have whatever show I'm watching on Netflix on the other computer. So it's also like, I just mute the workout. And I know people who are really into working out say that's not as good of a workout, and that's probably true, but I work out a whole lot more because I can watch something enjoyable while I'm doing so. So for me, the trade-off is worth it. And so I do that before dinner, and that's just a great way to kind of wrap up the work day and transition to having dinner with Dave and Jessica. So yeah, I would say working out and figuring out what incentives you need to help it be more appealing. For me, it's watching a show while I do it.
That is so important. Yeah, I was just reading Atomic Habits, great. And one of the things that the book says is like, you have to make it appealing. You have to make a habit appealing in order to keep doing it. So
totally.
Gia, do you have a practice?
Yeah, I'm thinking about the word creativity. How does that relate to self-care? Well, to me, it's finding or learning something new. And so whether it's like learning how to cook a new recipe that you've never tried before, and getting uncomfortable with it and just, you know, doing all that.
Gio, or you can come to my house anytime and cook for our family. Let me just say, I highly recommend that one. Just come to our place to do it.
Or even learning a new skill. So my dad, he's not an engineer, but he's very mechanical. And that's totally not me. And so I asked my dad, like, hey, dad, can you teach me like something that you do, like, because you know, you repair things, and can you help me learn how to repair things, you know? And so he's like, yeah, gladly teach you how to repair things. I think the creativity of just learning something new or doing something new is important.
I've been writing notes to my friends lately. Mm-hmm. And this is something that Kara, you mentioned in your clip that we listened to have people that are our friends and know us by like our first name basis and that are close to us. And so I'm a Enneagram 5 and I'm not very social and introverted, but I really value personal connection. And so for me, writing these notes to my friends who I haven't like really told some of them that I'm writing a note for them, it really helps me to like think about this person. How do I value them in my life? And as I'm writing these notes, I'm also like filled with all this gratitude because I know these people and because these people like have invested in me and we like know each other and get to connect in such wonderful ways. And just also stopping, like taking a moment to cherish and meditate on the things that God has given me and my friends. Yeah, so thank you so much, Kara. It was great to reminisce and look back at what you know we had talked about 2 years ago and see how it's coming up for us now and how it's changing and evolving and helping us as we keep on doing youth ministry.
Yeah, you know, one of the skills that we teach at Fuller when it comes to servanthood and leadership is agility. How do we stay on our toes and respond? And I think that's true not just with how we love and serve young people, but how we love ourselves too. So may God continue to give each of us wisdom to know the ways we need to take care of ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our souls, and spirits today, because it might look different than yesterday.
Thank you, Kara. I'm receiving that benediction.
Exactly the same thing. I was like, yes.
Yes.
And I'm speaking to myself there too. So I'm benedicting myself also.
We accept it and fully receive it.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for listening.
We'll see you next time. To learn more about any of the topics we discussed today, check out our books and training at FullerYouthInstitute.org. Thanks to Kara and Rosalind for that helpful conversation. And a special thanks to the youth leaders, Kathy, Anna, and Maddie. And now, here is one more clip from a youth leader.
My name is Anna Burden. I'm the director of student ministries, and we are located just outside of Baltimore, Maryland. I learned that I need to be creative. I was a double major with youth ministry and dance in college, and that was like just a huge part of, I think, who I am. But I thought that I could focus all of my energy on ministry because that's what I really wanted to be doing. And so I left other parts of myself just kind of go to the side, and I thought they were childish things or things that weren't as important now. And as those practices, particularly with creative things and with dancing, come back into my life, I'm just a more whole person and less anxious and more rested and feel human again. Yeah.
This is so good.
I left my last dance class singing Human Again from Beauty and the Beast in my head. So whatever practice you have that makes you sing Human Again from Beauty and the Beast, would recommend.